Let's give a big round of applause and welcome up John to preach.
Good morning from Texas, the great nation. We call I know it's from the U.S., but sometimes we like to think of ourselves kind of bigger than we are. Anybody heard of somebody with big britches? Well, that's Texans. That's us. But I'm very pleased to be with you today, and it's through the contact of Pastor Noel and Sharon that we're able to be with you and to spend some time in the Word of God. Let me introduce my wife of 40 years. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary, Leanne. Leanne, yep. Thanks, baby. And we're this is kind of a milestone year for us. We each turn 60 years old this year, and we've had 40 years of marriage. That's right. We were 19 apiece when we got married. Too young, right? No, okay. But it's been quite a journey that we have been on for some time in the Lord. You know, there's one thing for sure. When you're walking with the Lord, you won't get bored. Did you hear what I said? Don't expect a pragmatic life if you're going to walk with God. It's an unplanned Jesus journey, and around every corner there's another surprise. So if you're looking for surprises this morning, if you're looking for opportunities in God to be just kind of blown out of your mind, He's the one that can do it. He really is. The guy I was going to talk about this morning, I've been listening to the Spirit of the Lord as we've been in song service and during the time of worship and just of releasing our hearts to the Father. And I'm just thinking about a guy this morning that really got surprised when God gave him assignment. Anybody interested in knowing who the guy is? If you are, just give me a little wave. Just checking. Okay, all right. He's a really popular guy. For those of you that have been around church life very much, back in the day, we used to see this guy on flannel graphs. And let me just say this. Maybe you can guess who the guy is. He's associated with a great big fish. Sometimes we call a whale. Who's the guy? Oh, come on. Let me hear you say it. Who is it? Yeah, it's Jonah. You might say, why would an adult, 60-year-old, want to talk to me about Jonah? I want to tell you why. Because Jonah didn't really understand the fullness of the love of God. And I believe if we're ever going to see revival, how many desire to have revival in your nation? Come on. If we're ever going to see revival, we're going to have to know what it means to relearn the love of God. Because I believe we would already be in revival if we had the full capacity of understanding of His love. If we understood that He doesn't simply have love, but that He is love, because that's how He describes Himself. It's not something He gives, it's something He is. And here's the incredible thing. He's invited all of us into that same life. I heard this morning as we testified, the very first thing that Pastor Rob said was about Emmanuel, one of the names of God that was given to him. God with us. But you know what? When Jesus left this earth, He even did one better than being with us. He decided to move inside of us. Not only now is it God with us, but it's God in us, as us, for others. In other words, when I say as us, that means He's going to come through you differently than me. Everybody else is surprised about that, right? No, not at all. But each one of us in our uniqueness, in the character of whom we are and the personality that we've been developed in, God love, that love of God that is in us, that is now us, is going to come through us to others as us. Jonah had to learn something about that. Jonah had an incredible assignment. Jonah had an assignment. He only had three assignments in his whole prophetic office. One was to Jeru. One was to that other king. Yeah, Rehoboam. And his final one was to Nineveh. Here's the problem. And I'm going to set this up. Then we're going to pray and then I'll get deep in the Word. Okay? Is it okay to go deep? All right. So Jonah gets this third assignment. The only problem is Jonah hated the people that he was assigned to go after. Literally hated them. Because he was called to go after the Assyrians. The Assyrians are the ones that lived in Nineveh. I don't know if you know much about the Assyrians, but the Assyrians were the most heartless, ruthless, arrogant people that were on the face of the earth at the time. The Assyrians were so ruthless that they commanded the empire that they had during their period of time longer than any other empire in the history of the world. And the reason is because of the terror that they struck in all of those that would not give obeisance to them, all of those that would not bow their knee to them. I mean, whenever they came into a town, if the people wouldn't relent and just say yes to whatever they would do, they would take the leader of the town or a child of the town. It didn't matter. They learned the art of how to strip people, how to completely gut them, if you will, while they're alive, to skin them alive. Literally. They learned that art so that the person's heart would still be beating, their brain would still be going, but they would completely... strip their skin off of them, take their skin and hang it at the very front portal of the town so that all that would come in would have to say, we're going to give obedience to them or the same will be done to you. How many think that's a pretty ruthless people? And see, and in our understanding is, well, man, we want down with the Assyrians, right? I mean, they're a blood-gutted people. They're just after, all they're after is themselves and power. We need to do away with them. We need to cut them out. We need to just, get them wiped out because they're so heartless. And yet, God sent an assignment to Jonah and said, go. Go and tell Nineveh to repent. Give them 40 days to repent. How many know Jonah said, I ain't doing it. I'm not going there. It's the classic example, the first time we really have in the Bible, of the classic example of a prophet running from God. Guess what happens when you run from God? You get puked out on the beach. Well, but a lot of other things. Was that a bad word here? Puke? Okay, I'm just checking. You never know when you're in places you're not sure. But you get the picture, right? I mean, Jonah, here he is. He gets the assignment. He said, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going after it. No way I'm going to do it. And so he goes and puts himself on a ship going the opposite direction from the way that God called him. And what happens? He's out on the ship. The storm comes up. Everybody remember the flannel graph? Storm comes up. Okay, the next thing that happens, huh? Hey, I'm the problem. And everybody in the ship says, okay, you're the problem. We throw you in. Throw him in. The whale swallows him up, spends 3 days in the whale, and then, whoop, guess where the whale heads? Does the whale head back to the place that Jonah's wanting to go? Nope, takes him right back to where he started. First thought, when you're running from God, it ends you up in the strangest of places. And in the end, you go right back to where you started. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning for the anointing of your Spirit. Father, for the power of your grace that rests over this house. I thank you for the presence, Lord, that is being maturated and cultivated in this place. I thank you, Father, that there is a powerful a release of your presence in this house, God, to affect this entire region. I thank you, Father, for a people that have chosen, Lord, not to be identified with the world of the world system, but to be identified with heaven. Lord, we submit our hearts to you this morning afresh and anew. And God, we ask that through the reading of your word and the sharing, Father, of this message and of these thoughts, Lord God, that you would give us a greater revelation of your love, Father, so that we might be so encapsulated by your purpose and your calling, Father, that there's nothing else that causes our attention to be swayed. But Lord, we become those that have our eyes fixed firmly upon you. We become those, Father, that find no respite in any other thing but in your presence. And Lord, we allow you, Father, to establish deep within our being, Father, not only our reason for being, but for the very joy of life that you have given us here on this side. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would give, just as the young lady said, you would give this morning the renewing of our mind. God, that we would present our bodies as living sacrifices unto you, which is our reasonable act of spiritual worship. And Lord, as we present ourselves to you, that you would cause our mind to be renewed in the very spirit of our mind. Not that we just get new ideas about you, or not that we would just find some new nuance, Lord, that would tantalize our thinking, but God, in the very spirit of our mind, there would be a divine shift that would move us into alignment with your heart for the whole earth. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise and to give you the glory. Amen. Will you give him a little praise for just a moment? Go and give him a hand clap offering. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. He is the Lord God Almighty, and man, he's worthy of it. I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles or if you have your iPads. I brought the newest technological invention from the U.S. I want to show you this morning. It's called the spiral. I'm still having problems getting my iPad to work and all that stuff. So here I am. I got my old-fashioned notes. Brand new technology for me. But as you turn, I want you to look over in Jonah. I want you to just jump, if you would, please, right to the end of chapter 3. And we're going to read just a few verses here before we go to another place or two in the Word. But I want you to see in chapter 3, verse 10, the end of it. This is right at the point to where Jonah, let me bring you up to date for just a moment. So Jonah now has gone to Nineveh. He's probably preached the most passionless, everybody say less, the most passionless sermon on the face of the earth. He's basically gone to them and said, Nineveh, repent, in 40 days you'll die. You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, basically that's the message. He doesn't elaborate. He doesn't go into any lamentation. He basically simply delivers just the word that God has given. Here's the wild thing. Though hundreds of years these people have plundered the earth and plundered people, killing anyone that was not coming into their alignment, for whatever reason, they hear that word. It's kind of interesting. If you read the Bible and you don't have understandings of the euphemisms that are found in the Hebraic language, in the natural language, it's kind of interesting. 40 was the equivalent of putting off for a long time. It was almost like whenever God said in 40 days, it was like, it's like, why not say tomorrow? I mean, wouldn't you think that they deserved, you know, maybe just one day of grace? You know, just one day to repent. But God put it off and said 40 days from now. Put it way off into the future. It's kind of in a future, you know, kind of that. Think of how many 40s you have in the Bible. You know, 40 years in the wilderness, okay. 40 days. I mean, you could just go through it real quick and you can come up with a number. But that's sort of the idea. He was even putting it off. And here's the deal. They repent. The people hear the word and there comes a gift of repentance that falls on the place. Not only do they fast, the king even declares for the animals to fast. I mean, the animals couldn't even eat or drink anything during this period of time. All those people, they all turned. And here's the interesting thing I want you to see. So in verse 10 of chapter 3, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Who's the guy we're talking about, though, this morning? 10 of you, remember. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I know I'm going to have to heighten my game a little bit. So, no. Okay, so it's Jonah. Everybody say it. Jonah. Thank you. Here's what happened. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He became very angry. So he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Oh God, oh Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing evil." Are y'all thinking with me this morning? Here's the prophet that's supposed to represent God, and he's mad at God because God didn't give the Assyrians what they deserved. Let that set in your heart for a moment. How much are we like that? How much have we been succumbed into the knowledge of the tree of good and evil? To where we have sized up people in relationship to what they deserve instead of how they're valued. I hope you're getting this morning, because there's a depth of what God wants to reveal to us in our heart, because it's so easy for us to default from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The thing, you know, the whole idea, the original sin was basically this. You shall be the masters. You shall be the guardians over what is good and what is evil. In other words, you shall set yourself up as judge as to who's in and who's out, who gets it, who doesn't, what happens and what doesn't. You might say, well, why is that important, John? What's that about? Well, it's all very important, because if we don't understand the nature and character of God, how are we going to know when that nature and character is trying to live its life and its expression out through us that we don't shut it down from the filtered of an unrenewed mind? Because our mind has got to be renewed in its very spirit so that we can understand. You know, Yom Kippur. Here's an interesting thing. Can I go back a little bit? How many of you know what Yom Kippur is in the Jewish? A few of you do. Well, let me give you a quick little Jewish lesson. Yom Kippur is the highest, or one of the two highest holy days in Israel. It's one of the two highest days of Hebraic culture. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. It's the day that was celebrated about Abraham bringing in the whole act of God's sacrifice unto himself for holiness. You might ask, why is that important? Well, prior to Abraham having the revelation of God, guess what people did? A lot of us think the whole idea of cutting is a new thing. The idea of cutting is the way the whole world lived in the system before Abraham had the revelation of God. Why is that? Because the greatest thing that was in the world prior to that was the sun and the moon. And all the earth, all they knew to do was to worship something that was bigger than them. And they wanted to please the sun. And the only way they knew to please the sun so that we might have the proper amount of rain and the proper amount of sunshine, the only way they knew to please the sun was to cut themselves, thinking that, isn't it interesting, in the psyche of the knowledge of good and evil, there's this idea about the blood. But they didn't know how to appropriate the blood properly. All they knew to do was cut themselves. But then the question is, well, how much do you have to cut yourself to please God? How much do you have to cut yourself in order to appease the sun? And then, of course, there's the moon god, which they figure out the moon circles around about every 28 days. Well, that's about how often the cycle is of the woman, every 28 days. So the moon god must be the god of fertility. So we better please the moon god too. I'm taking you back prior to Abraham. You need to think, we read the Bible sometimes kind of funny. We think, well, everybody was nice and good, and Abraham just was a little better. Uh-uh. They were all pressing out trying to know Creator. They realized there was something bigger. Why were there so many gods? they realized there had to be, they're a little bit smarter than a lot of people around today, huh? A lot of people think we went from the zoo to you by the way of the goo. I mean that's the way many people think today. No, they were smarter than that. Think about the love of God with me for just a moment, if you would. Think about this. When they didn't know how much to cut, then they thought, well, surely if we give our prices, our best, our highest thing, let's give our firstborn to this sun god. It was a normal thing. Isn't it interesting when God called Abraham up to offer Isaac that Abraham never argued? Think with me for a moment in your Bible. He never argued. He just took his son up as if that's the normal thing to do. God was speaking, but he didn't know the voice of the God that he was speaking, because whenever he began to offer Isaac, God said, Abraham, Abraham, take not thy son, for now I know that you will serve me. And for the first time in the history of the world, there was the love of God, the loving kindness of God being revealed. No, you don't get to me by that kind of blood. You don't get to me by the sacrificing of your firstborn. Think of this. Tells this old man, Abraham, he says, now circumcise yourself. How'd you like that? 90-something years old with a shaky rock in your hand. You better hit hard. You better hit fast. You got one time at this and it's over. You know, I mean, it's done. Huh? Hey, the Bible's got the good, the bad, the ugly in it. If you're just wanting a PG version, you got the wrong book. That's all I got to say. I mean, it's all there. And so what happens? Well, guess what? You don't have to cut yourself anymore. One time, and only the males, the loving kindness of God is being revealed. It's pointing to a future day. It's pointing to a day, because Yom Kippur was the celebration of that revelation that we don't have to cut anymore, that we don't have to offer our firstborns anymore. That's the celebration of that. Yom Kippur, what did they do? A priest went into the holiest of holies once a year and offered the sacrifice of a lamb one time before God. And that satisfied God for the whole company, for the whole year, for the sins of the whole family. But there was one better. God had one better. He had a man coming that was going to be sacrificed one time for all of creation. Whoa! Do you understand? God is becoming kinder in our understanding of him. That's the revelation. And Jonah actually had this revelation of the kindness, of the loving kindness of God. But he had it in a knowledge of good and evil, and he felt like the Assyrians deserved to be punished. Look at this. Am I yelling too loud, by the way? I get a little excited. I don't know how it is around here, you know. I mean, I tell you what, I may be yelling a little bit, but this guy is a fast talker. Woo! Glory. I'm sitting back there. I'm thinking, Pastor Rob, man, you got one on me here, buddy. You're running this thing. We're going for it. But it's amazing. It's amazing to me when I think about this unveiling of the God of love, who said it was the mystery that was hidden from all the world that he would live his life in me. That's who's in you. But see, in order for who is in you to flow through you, you have to get a renewed mind. Otherwise, the lies of this world will constantly trip you up into religion, constantly put you into a place of trying to appease. Isn't it interesting that the thing we deal with, the shame, the guilt, all of that was from the garden. And we're still dealing with the lie that Satan put on us in the garden, because the spirit of our mind is yet to be fully renewed. And so, God, our prayer is this morning, Lord, that you would renew us in the spirit of our mind, God, that we might know what the hope of the calling is in Christ Jesus, and our eyes might be illuminated to the fullness of that. So Jonah's here majorly ticked off, because he said, God, I knew you were too kind. Man, knew you were too kind. I knew you were going to let those Assyrians off. I knew you were going to give them another chance. They don't deserve it. But God, I knew that about you. Look at what the word says. It says, "For I know that you're gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Now look what happens to him. Jonah, "Therefore now, Lord, please take my life from me. It's better for me to die than to live." In other words, God, if you don't give them what they deserve, I'm not interested in serving you, and I'm not interested in being on this earth. Is this too heavy for Sunday morning? We're in Sunday afternoon now. It's okay. So what happens? The Lord said to him, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And Jonah went out of the city and the east side of the city, and there he made for himself a shelter, and he sat under the shade till he might see what would become of the city. In other words, he's sitting up there and he goes, "Well, maybe my little temper tantrum on God will do some good." No, he's sitting up there in the city. And you know the story, maybe, if you stayed with the flannel graph and didn't fall asleep, a little plant grows up over Jonah. And he sits under this shade of this plant. And he made a shade to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But in the morning, the dawn, the next day, verse 7, God prepared a worm. That's so funny. Here you go. Eat that one. He prepared a worm so as to damage the plant. It withered, and it happened. The sun arose, and God prepared vehement heat, east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head. He must have been bald like me. It really hurts. It sweats up bad. Okay, so that he grew faint, and then he wished death for himself. "For it's better for me to die than to live." God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "Is it right for me to be angry?" Look at this. "Even unto death?" And the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it to grow, which came up at night and perished in a night. Why should I not pity Nineveh, that a great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, much less their livestock?" See, what I wanted to do this morning is I wanted to just, and there's no way, you know, I haven't even got off of page one of my spiral notes here. So, I mean, we haven't even hit the subject yet, really. And I'm not going to try, I can't. At my church, I always tell my folks, "Well, I guess I can stop here because I can invite myself back. I'll see you next week." I can't do that here. So I got to find a landing point. You know, I can't land it next week because I'll be landed in Houston. But what I want you to hear this morning, if there's anything I bring to you, is the love of God is incredible. It's extravagant. Is it not extravagant for God to go after a people that would be so ruthless? Is that not extravagant? How can we then just not go after our neighbor, who forgot to bid us good morning yesterday? And so therefore, well, they're going to be like that with me. I'll just be like that with them. How can that be in a renewed mind? In other words, I want to take it down. I know I've used an extreme example. It's a Bible example. But how do you apply that to your natural life? How do you apply that to your daily life so that you can move from being a natural natural person to a supernatural person. Because let me just say this. If you have a desire, and if I have a desire for the supernatural signs and wonders of God to flow through my life, then it's got to be fueled by something other than the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. It's got to be fueled from the tree of life. It's got to be fueled from the love of God that passes all human understanding. It's got to be fueled from a place that gives forgiveness 70 times 7 over the same offense in the same day. It's got to be pulled into an understanding that there's a God nature that lives inside of me. I'm no longer a dual-natured person. I was sometimes darkness. Now I have seen the light. I was one time, a sinner, but now I'm a saint because I've been a partaker of the divine nature of God who lives in me, and that divine nature now compels me to live life not like the world, but to live life like heaven. Huh? So I have this opportunity to go through life and live with people according to their worth, according to their value, not according to what they deserve. Friends, if we got what we deserved, what would it be like? It's so much more powerful to allow the love of God to cleanse us and to flow through us in a supernatural capacity to others. I'm overwhelmed with your nation. It's my first visit. I've been in a number of different areas. Please don't ask me to tell you where they are. My goodness, the words are, every word here is like this long. I don't know. Anyway, it just as I go to the different places. But I've seen the contrast. I've seen the contrast that you live with, sometimes the contradiction. I'm acutely aware of, even in the song, trouble. I've got a whole new appreciation for the word trouble because it has a significance here that I wouldn't apply from my context. But I get it. But let me just say something to you. You have a triumphant nature in Christ Jesus that overcomes every trouble that this world would try to bring against us. Because he has made you more than overcomers in Christ. There's an anointing that comes from above that now is living inside of us. That's the unusual thing, the incredible thing to me, is that God in his rich mercy determined to live his life now in me. The Old Testament has this great thought. It says God inhabits the praises of his people. You know that, right? We bring sacrifice of praise. You know, we got all these songs. Maybe, most of you are much younger than me. You wouldn't even know that song. But anyway, it's from another era, another time, another place. Okay, but now, in today, in the new covenant, it's not that God inhabits the praises of his people. It's God inhabits the people of his praises. He's in here. And he wants to get out. He wants to live his life out through you. You are his minister of reconciliation, the Bible says. All of us are called to that ministry. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts for others. I've been made a partaker of his divine nature. So I got to throw away the old code book. I got to throw away the old rule book. Because now I've got to live life by the Spirit. The Spirit of the God that Jonah in some ways knew more about than I do, because he knew God wasn't going to give the Assyrians what they deserved, but he was going to give them life according to what he valued in them. So my challenge to us today, and someday maybe,